Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome back to The Shift. It's Dez here, and Dolphins Burn. Katie will be with you in a moment for this wonderful episode with Julie J. Now, Julie J is a comedian. She was opening up for me in Thurles County, Tipperary, which is where we were on our way to recording this episode. So you will hear us driving, and then you will hear the driving stop because we arrived fairly quickly. And I like a driving ep because you'd just be chatting in the car anyway. We chat about some great stuff. We jump right in. I cut out a little bit at the start. There was a lot of messing going on, some technical difficulties. So we jump right in. Honestly, we talk a lot about masturbation in a fun way. A little sort of look back on the early days of masturbation, sort of a little nostalgia for the beginning, the excitement of self-exploration. Fein trulo, eg immert. The Julie J has some amazing, like, really funny stories about that. She's good at telling them. And myself and Katie chip in. We also then have a great discussion about a listener's dilemma, a kind of a friends with benefits dilemma. And there is always that situation with the friends with benefits thing where one person gets more attached than the other, and there is that moment where it becomes difficult to remain in the friends with benefits category. And is it time to walk or to deny your own feelings to maintain the sexual connection, even though you're looking for more? We will be discussing that later on in the podcast. I have to say, I think this is a nice, funny ep, and enjoy it. This is Julie J with me and Katie on our way to Tipperary. And despite the song, actually, it was a pretty quick trip.
And then, did you say you started masturbating in eighth grade?
We're not going to talk about when I started masturbating. Julie okay. J, just to let you know, we're not on up to 90.
On up to 90. Okay.
Myself and Katie will be doing the questions, so fucking back off.
Sorry.
Back off, miss.
No, because I just had a thought there about masturbation.
You're such a fucking teacher.
No,
go ahead. Sorry, I'm kidding. What's the question?
That is just accusing me
I was masturbating before eighth grade. But anyway, what's the question?
I just had a flashback to my own initial masturbation experiences. And
favorite topic of the podcast, female masturbation.
Love it. That's how we started this podcast.
But, no, just as an aside, because I'm sure you've discussed it at length, but I can remember the first time I masturbated was that. This is such a weird one, to that Roy Orbison song. Do you remember?
Which one?
She's a mystery girl. Like, it's so
that
morose.
Was on in the background.
I was, like, listening to it on the radio, and every time I hear this song, I'm like, what part of this song made me just say, now is the time that I get to know myself? I've no idea. And I was mad for Jason McAteer.
Were you young?
Was I young when I was masturbating to Roy Orbison?
Well, yeah.
I don't know who Roy Orbison is.
I'd say it was in, like, second year.
Oh, I do. Yeah, Pretty Woman.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Great. Second year. That's normal.
You think you're in
that's
second great. Year?
I'd say second year.
That's
and
grand.
You're mad for Jason McAteer.
Mad for Jason McAteer. And my saddest ever wank. Like, you know that wank that you're like, this is just bordering on sad, like, was, I remember his book was so badly written that Jason McAtee, Blood and Sweat was the name of his autobiography, and there was a part in it where he talked, you know, about Roy Keane, and Roy Keane had written a book and said something negative about Jason, and then Jason fouled him and said, "Now write that in your fucking book." And that was the moment I was like, yeah, no, I'm definitely, I have to touch myself. Like, Jason is just too much. But then even afterwards, going back to it, I was like, Julie, this is a new low. Like, even by Roy Orbison standards.
I think that's great, you know? A bit of fucking rough and tumble between Roy Keane.
Fucking book. I was like, oh, just gets me going.
You wanted to just write that into your own book.
Oh, stop.
Get into
gas.
It.
Well,
that's great, though. Now,
do you
remember what put it into your head that you could touch yourself?
Put it into my head that I could touch myself. I mean, I suppose why not? Like, it's there. I mean, it wouldn't be something, you know, you wouldn't be rocking into school the next day saying, "Hey guys, I just had the most amazing wank last night." But I mean, I think that I think when I was growing up, like, the internet was just happening. Like, there was a lot of talk about, like, you know, you'd have a lot of classmates flirting with one another via MSN Messenger and all that kind of
yes.
thing. And it was kind of, I mean, I suppose as a teenager it probably always is, but it was kind of like a sexually charged atmosphere.
Were you in all girls? Or?
It was mixed, yeah.
Oh, so you were in a mixed school. That helps.
I do think it helps. But do you know what? I can't remember ever. I can remember reading a Judy Blume book, and I think this is what initially planted the first seed in relation to masturbation. And one of the characters said, I just think Judy Blume is,
you know,
like,
Judy
just
Blume
so underrated.
Is Katie, right?
Oh, she's fantastic.
No, Katie does not know who Judy Blume
is. Oh, I'm going to get you some Judy Blumes, Kate.
Oh,
Katie,
you.
Honestly, they're great.
She wrote like dirty books.
Oh, okay, then I definitely don't know.
Hardcore. But like, they were really just pioneering, because they were aimed at like young women, like I suppose kind of, you know, young teenage girls. But they were just really like, I felt very kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Very, they weren't in any way condescending. Yeah.
No, yeah.
They weren't condescending. They were just really speaking to young girls, like, in a very mature way. And there was this one line, I remember this character, when she found it hard to sleep, she said that there was a place in her body that she would touch herself and it would make her feel nice and it would help her sleep. And I was like, she must be talking about down there, the old hystyra. I was like, that must be what she's talking about. And I think...
The what?
The hystyra.
Is that
downstairs?
What the clit is? Oh, hystyra.
Hystyra.
What is clit in Irish?
Clit is brilliant.
Brilliant.
It's a little as in brilliant. That's
brilliant.
Where the word, I'm convinced that's
brilliant
where brilliant
there.
Comes from. But yeah, I can remember that line and thinking, oh, I wonder, is that what she's doing? And that probably planted the seed. And then when I heard that Roy Orbison song, it's gone.
For some reason,
I was like,
Mystery Girl. It's like,
this has happened. I know, it's so morose. No,
it's funny because I remember the first time that I actually jerked off. And I don't know if women made fun of each other about jerking off, but young boys, like, would say to you, "Oh, you jerk off," and be like, "I don't fucking jerk off." Like, because there was like a, like, jerking off was bad.
Yeah.
You know, you're a wanker or whatever. And we definitely got to that. Like, all my neighborhood friends were older, not the kids in school, but my older neighborhood friends, they were at the, obviously they were all jerking off and they were making fun of each other saying they're jerking off, but nobody was admitting that they were jerking off. That day comes later. But I never really thought about it. And then I guess there comes a time in puberty where the horniness just fucking starts rising up in
yeah.
you. And so it was never like a thing where somebody's like, "Oh, you should try it." But I just remember the day where I was just like, kind of started, and then I was like, "Oh, interesting." But I remember being afraid to come, because I all I knew was that you shot a load, but I really thought that it would be like this explosive. Yeah,
like Niagara.
I thought it would be like, fucking get out of the way. And eventually I got the fucking courage to take it to the edge, which is all natural, right? Because you don't know. Like,
yeah,
you know, all I knew is I knew that guys take their hand and fucking jerk it, right? But then suddenly it was like, oh my God, this is going to happen. And I guess I was so fucking young. I think I was 11. I was so young. I didn't even come. Like I came, but there was no... I was pre-ejaculation.
And you probably thought that you were going to, like, break a window or something.
I thought I was going to break a window. And I hadn't had a wet dream, you know? It was like, you know, guys were starting to talk about wet dreams, and I hadn't had one. And, you know, wet dreams came later, but wet dreams only happen when you, like, didn't wank for a while, you know?
I remember like the lads would always be like, oh, she has short fingernails, like she fingers herself. And I remember always being like, right, I got to keep my nails long. I don't want them to think I'm doing that.
Really?
And I'm so funny.
I didn't really masturbate until my mid-20s.
Yeah, like, you said that, yeah.
But I remember once, I guess I was like 15 or 16, I can't remember, but sticking like my fingers up there and being like, this feels weird. Just taking them out and going back to bed.
It probably does feel a bit strange, I'd imagine, the first time. I mean, I guess, because the thing with vaginas is you never really get a good look at it either.
Yes.
You know, so
our cocks are in our hand every time we go for a piss.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to learn how to work it. You guys can kind of...
You have to put your hand where it doesn't need to be, except for when you're playing with yourself or checking yourself.
I can remember the first time I put a mirror down there, I was like, oh... Interesting. Yeah. Like it just, yeah, honestly though.
Me too. Oh my god. I think, how did I?
I had no idea what to expect, but it certainly wasn't that, whatever it was. But it is funny thinking back. Just
and is that a thing that ladies do?
I still do it. Every couple of months I go, let's have a look down there.
Well, the reason I did it was, I originally did it because I read the vagina monologues and I was like, God, I've never actually done that. And then now, I mean, I kind of do it on occasion just to see what my sexual partner is seeing when he's down there, like just to kind of see what it looks like, to make sure everything's in check.
Have you ever maybe that's a disgusting question.
I've had guys stick their finger in my vagina and then stick it in my mouth. So I have. Yeah. Not necessarily. Or you know, when the guys go down and you kiss them afterwards. So yeah, but not sitting in my room like, hey, yeah. I'm hungry.
But yeah, you never wanted to say like, is it okay?
No.
Oh, just curious. Julie J? You never really answered that question.
The guys have done the whole like, oh, you know, finger in the pussy and then like in the mouth kind of thing. They're mad for that, all right. But yeah. Actually, you know what? I don't think
that's a good idea.
Well,
I remember now you're saying about looking at the vagina. God, I'm having all the images of the first look at the vagina. Yeah, it's late when we see it.
It is, yeah. No, I mean, I was definitely like, I would say mid-20s when I took a mirror down there.
But you'd seen porn, though. You weren't surprised at what a vagina looked like.
Yeah. No, I'd seen
Katie,
porn.
Had you ever seen a vagina before you put a mirror to your vagina?
I had Googled vagina.
Oh, you had Googled it.
Do you know what I think the first probably vagina I saw was the dodgy vagina, like Blue Waffle or something, that all the lads were showing everybody. So I think after that, then I probably Googled normal vagina.
Make sure you
what
had
a normal vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a vagina should look like.
It's, I mean, yeah, I certainly would have seen porn. Yeah, I'd imagine. No, I definitely had seen some vatches. I mean, I would, like, I'd have some family members as well. Like, my auntie was always like, kind of, you know, very much like all about running around the house in the nip. So I definitely,
really?
See, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
I think you might have been a little progressive vibe going on in your house.
Do you think so?
This is your aunt, like your old aunt.
Oh, let me ask you a little more of a personal thing.
Go for it.
Did you feel bad after you masturbated?
I probably, I don't know if I felt bad necessarily. I wouldn't say I felt kind of like, you know, top of the world, kind of, you know, skipping around the house saying I'm the greatest. But at the same time, I don't know what I necessarily felt bad. I probably wouldn't have felt great, but I can remember being in a lecture in college. It was like a tutor group. So I would have been maybe 17. I was quite young when I was in college. I remember the lecturer. We were talking about, do you remember The Great Hunger? Paddy Kavanagh, that poem.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And obviously it's, you know, it's...
There's so much literature involved in all your sex stories.
Oh, like, no, like, I'm just such a nerd. It's disgusting, Katie. Like, Katie's sitting there feeling so sorry
for me
right now.
It's been all books. It's all books in Roy Orbison. It's really shocking.
No. Jesus. Oh, my God. Like, if you knew the foreplay poor Fred has to go through, like, to get me up.
Jesus Christ, he has to recite T.S. Eliot.
It's like, whip off the Ulysses. We're going at it. But Paddy Kavanagh, like, in that, you know, poem where he, you know, wanks off, I can remember the tutor going off on a tangent about how masturbation was basically the definition of loneliness.
Really?
It would have been like 2001. It was in Trinity. It was in a tutor group. I can't remember what the module was, but I just remember everyone in the room we were like, please just let the ground swallow me up. Like, in that moment, everyone's like, but I masturbate. Yes. It was just, and I remember feeling a distinct sense of shame when he said that, because I was like, you know what? It is probably the definition of loneliness. So I'm sure I probably didn't feel
great.
It's not.
It's the definition of self-exploration.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%.
And
like,
also, it
totally.
Makes you feel a lot less lonely because you're doing something nice with yourself.
Yes.
Instead of just sitting there being miserable.
Yeah.
That's
but I guess, like, this was, you know, the early noughties when, you know, I suppose people kind of viewed it differently. But in that moment, I definitely, you know, the way shame is such a...
Insidious.
Horrible.
It's such a distinct feeling, isn't it? That
yes.
you remember in that moment when you feel something. And I just remember sitting there feeling it. And previous to that, I'm sure I probably, you know, felt a bit of shame about it, because obviously growing up in the 90s in Ireland, how could you not? But in that moment, I definitely felt really bad about myself.
But did you, because I remember when I started masturbating, I really masturbated a lot.
Yeah.
For a very long time. Did you find yourself like wanting to masturbate a lot, or you weren't a big...
Like, I'd say, you see, it's I guess it's different for girls in that.
I mean, yeah, that's
what I
was curious.
For every girl, but I know for me, like, it just takes so much longer for me to kind of, I suppose, whip one out, that I don't know, did I do it that regularly, because I'd need like a good hour on the clock. So realistically,
you need to make an appointment with yourself.
Yeah, like living in a 3-bedroom detached house, or alternatively, was if I was down in Dingle with my beloved auntie, who'd be, you know,
running around
storming,
the place naked.
Storming into my room in the nip. Like, it just didn't really lend itself to masturbation on the reg. But I mean, I would say in general, but this is probably just a total, you know, a sweeping statement to make, I would think women probably do masturbate less regularly than men, because I know for me, it's a longer process.
Yeah, like when I started, I was like 5 times a night, like, oh Jesus, this is great. But I know what you mean. Like, let's say now I haven't masturbated since I've left America, because where am I going to go?
Yeah.
I don't have the time. I'm tired actually by the time I go to bed, and also like there's all my family are in the house, and like you need to be like, I just feel comfortable in my place in America,
and you need to be in the right, like I know myself and my partner now, Fred, like we live in essentially like a one, it's not even a one bedroom, it's essentially like one room, it's kind of a mezzanine, so it's just, you know, you're not really going to get the time to have a wank.
Well, that's why shower is the great, but like there's 5 of us kids, let's say, and my, you know, you can't even fucking clean yourself in the shower, never mind masturbate, because they're fucking banging on the door, and then the water's cold, so it's like, it's not the same.
You
can't masturbate in Ireland, there's no fucking water pressure, like,
no,
you know.
Fucking pressure. Would you believe I've tried to masturbate in the shower, and I've never succeeded.
Really? It's my favourite.
Katie's a big shower man.
And I can remember Monica and Friends, you know, when Ross storms in and she's like, just, you know, I was just
That's
checking
where
that.
I probably
like,
got the idea.
I really should start doing that. And I've tried, and maybe it's the pressure. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
no,
I
you need to get really strong. And then even not, but even just touching yourself in the shower, I feel is great, because there's so much water I can get out of my head. I can orgasm the quickest, because I'm just like, in the water helps me from worrying about or concentrating it, like it's very freeing.
It's all sensory as well. Anytime.
Well, you got women so fucking complicated. Two guys get together and they're fucking, every guy experiences pretty much the same shit, give or take like a finger in the ass or not. Whereas fucking women sit down, it's like, you know what's great? And then a woman would be like, I tried that and I couldn't get out of my own way. It's so fucking complicated.
It is. Do you know what? Actually, one time I was planning to masturbate when I was younger, and I like didn't go through with it. But I remember thinking, should I try the electric toothbrush? And then I was like, no, that doesn't sound safe. And then I dropped the whole masturbation. But I remember looking at it, like eyeing it up and being like, would I? Because I had heard someone talking about it. And I was curious. But then I was like, you know, Katie, drop it. Go on there.
You can put a condom around it.
Yeah, but I didn't know.
Safe masturbation is the way forward.
You know, no.
That's
it's
what
very
we're
internal.
Preaching here, guys.
Hey, can we have a bit of fun here?
Yeah.
I don't think wank is a great term for female masturbation.
Really?
Like, in the sense that I feel like, no, I don't know, actually, the verb to wank is not a real word, right? Is wank actually a word?
Like, in the dictionary?
Like, I know yank is a word.
Yes. Well, I'm going to look it up on dictionary.com to see is it there, wank. Yeah, I know what you mean. It doesn't really fit.
Because to me, and this could just be the cultural significance that the word wank has taken on, but because it sounds like yank and there's a certain element of yanking your cock, I feel like wank, the verb, is a kind of a pulling motion. Yeah. And I know that, like, rubbing, you know, like, I guess some women can say rub one out, right? Some guys say rub one out, but a woman could rub one out also. But has there really been enough consensus on a good casual colloquialism
for
female masturbation?
It should be. I heard a joke where a girl compared to herself masturbating to, like, DJing. I feel like it should be DJing. Because, you know, we're just like, wicka, wicka,
wicka, wicka, yeah.
You're like just
mixing.
I'm just straying on the bean. I'm all about the bean.
So you're not a finger in person.
No, I'm the same too. Yeah, I'm all,
high five.
That's why the finger thing was weird for me. I put it up there and I was like, this is just bizarre. I'm only.
So you guys are just beans.
Clitoris ladies.
I'm all about the bean.
But you have talked to friends that are like, oh God, I need it in there and then up, right? You have talked to women that have, like, are very inside ladies, right?
Would you believe I've never talked to a friend about technique?
Yeah, really?
Never.
I've never talked to a friend.
Don't sweat the technique.
Ever. I've never discussed.
Speaking of DJing.
The only time I've discussed masturbation with my friends is as part of a joke whereby, like, you know, you might make a throwaway comment like, how can I have a wank in this house? Like, that kind of. Like, it's never been in any real way.
Right. I mean, I'm only saying that based on my own experience with women, where some women are very much on the bean, some women are 50-50, and then some women are very much like, no, I mean, I like having my clit play with, but I need it in there. And, you know, like, I've had the full spectrum of that experience, but you guys are both beanies.
And so guys, no matter how, and generally in my experience, you know, guys are so well-intentioned and, you know, they're like all about your stimulation and you're doing like a Cirque du Soleil up there and they're like, I want to return the favor. I'm like, all I need is the bean. Just the bean. That's all I need.
But you just got to tell them, right?
100%. Yeah, completely. Yeah. I always would. I think, like, obviously communication is key. And guys want you to communicate. That's the thing.
That's a running theme throughout.
Yeah, that's the secret they don't tell you about.
I got to be honest with you. We have not experienced universal. The experience with some of the women on the podcast hasn't been that guys have been great with receiving the information.
I think it depends on the type of relationship maybe you have with the person involved. Like,
but also, I just want to point out that we have shirked on our responsibility of trying to find a good colloquial verb for.
I think there isn't one. I think you're totally right on that. So, I think that there really isn't.
You know, like a slang, like a bit of slang.
Colloquial, as in there's already one out there? Or no, you're saying that we, like, should make one up?
Well, yeah, I'm just saying there's a lot for jerking off. Jerking off, wanking, having a tug off yourself.
But it's like even the whole thing about vaginas themselves. We don't really have the language around vaginas that we do when it comes to penises. I mean, you know, obviously, even in terms of colloquialisms, like, you've so many, like, obviously balls, cock, dick, etc., willy, like, you've so many words for the one thing, whereas even with vaginas, you don't
that
really
did
have
come
that.
Up on the podcast, but there's actually there's more than we think, like, pushy, cunt.
I think rub one out is probably the best.
Yeah, rub one out is, I think it's a good description. Good.
Yeah.
Massage. Did you look up on your phone if wank was actually a
wank
verb?
Wank is an actual verb.
And what's its meaning?
Oh, and this is interesting. Of a male to masturbate.
Oh, so it's actually, yeah. But I feel like that evolved, though. I feel like that's like a lot of these dictionaries have accepted modern language.
Well, they have to, yeah, I suppose. You know.
You know, so now wank is in the dictionary. But I don't think officially. Is there an alternative meaning to wank?
It's just the one definition. Oh, wait. Yeah, so just an act of masturbation by male. So it's a noun and a verb.
Yeah, so now a wank. Having a wank or
having
wanking.
A wank.
But did you wank?
Let me look up. Like rubbing clit. Let's see if that says anything.
Well, it's going to have a description, but I mean, obviously, it's two words that already exist. You know. You know what, Katie? Do me a favor.
Yeah.
On Google, can you put in, slang words for female masturbation? Just see if we can get inspired.
The only one I would ever use would be.
Well, you
wank.
Say wank a lot, obviously. Yeah. You're a fan of wank.
Big fan of the
We're not going anywhere, by the way. We have arrived.
Oh,
I got to be honest with you.
I trust your
We got to throw this a little bit quicker than I thought.
I didn't realize we
the
were
fucking
so
trip
close.
To tip. The trip to tip was a little quicker. And my generation, I promise you, a lot of fucking virginity was left out here in a fucking Semple Stadium. For the trip to tip, the trip to tip was a girls Fela of my was my huge. That's what we're talking about.
Was that the
that's
trip
Fela
to
is the trip
you
to tip.
Jinxed my, you jinxed my internet. Yes. You said, "Oh, Jesus, Katie, her internet's very fast there," and now it's
yeah. The trip to tip was Fela.
Was Fela
a lot of virginity was left on the pitch in Semple Stadium. While the hothouse flowers fucking banged it out.
Wouldn't it be amazing to emotional fish to
let's celebrate. This party is over and I'm going home.
Fantastic.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Love a bit of
happy
Lima
memories,
Wiley.
Man. Here's well, that was Jerry Fish, that one.
Paddling.
Jerry Fish and the, what was the club? The
no, they were an emotional fish.
The emotional fish.
Oh, he had the mud bug, Jerry Fish and the mud bug club. Mudbug that was a later incarnation of an emotional fish.
Katie's got something.
Katie. I haven't heard of these ones. One is Ménage à moi.
Ménage à moi. That's funny. That's kind good. Of a joke, really.
I like that.
Yeah.
Paddling the pink canoe.
Oh, I have heard somebody mention paddling the pink canoe.
Finger painting.
Interesting.
Visiting the safety deposit box.
Wow. Who? What site is this?
HuffPost.
These what? Are quite HuffPost. Worthy.
The Huffington Post. Yeah. Jesus, Christiana Huffington really went blue, didn't she?
Dialing the rotor. How do you say that? Rotary.
Dialing a rotary phone.
Rotary phone.
Oh, the rotary.
Oh, rotisserie, though. That would be good. Auditioning the finger puppets.
Oh, right.
See, I think all of these are too long.
Too long. Very
right.
descriptive.
Let me go to
we're getting syllable. Crack out of them, though.
Will I keep going, then?
Yeah,
okay.
Come on. We're having the crack.
Woman splaining yourself.
Oh, come on. Somebody's trying too hard to be funny
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Engaging in safe sex.
Ugh.
Getting lost in the deep end.
Oh, God.
Jilling off.
Jilling off?
I don't know what that means.
Jilling. Well, that's an attempt at like a verb. Because yeah. I don't think wank was a word either.
I suppose jill is a take on jizz.
Oh, right.
I would think.
DIY time. Oh, doing a Meg Ryan.
Oh, doing a Meg Ryan. But that's, she's only faking an orgasm.
Fanning the fur. Girls night in.
Girls night in. I like it.
I like girls night in now.
Checking the undercarriage.
I've heard that one.
The downstairs DJ. Well,
oh well done, Katie.
DJing is
that
better.
Was your one, yeah.
Well, technically, it's another comedian's because she talks about DJing herself, but I can't remember her name. Buttering your muffin.
Nice, buttering your muffin.
I've heard that one, yes. Mm.
Visiting the back cave.
Wow.
It should be called getting a fucking pain in your arm. What's that where you, your hand. Anyway.
Well, yeah.
Knitting.
Knitting. Did crocheting.
Did I say visiting the Batcave?
Yes.
You did.
Oh, I did. Sorry, I'm tired. Diddling Miss Daisy.
Okay.
I just, you see, I instantly started thinking of really, an old lady.
Yeah, these are just, that's fine. Laying that's fine. Piano. People were trying to be funny, you know. That's fair enough. That's totally
34
fair.
Words for female masturbation that are better than kiltra. I'd never even heard of kiltra.
What was Pitra. The word that I used to have a joke about the goelga for masturbation. Was it a fain trulu?
Is it fain? Is that what it? Oh, fain trulu, which means self-pollution.
Self-pollution, yeah.
Brilliant.
Fain trulu.
Fain gras, I'd say, is probably the one they're using now, is it?
I don't know. See, it's funny, the minute... You didn't hear it because you don't speak Chinese, but I wanted to speak Irish there, and I said chisha, which means actually. You know, like, I wanted to get... I immediately went to speak Gaelga, and Chinese came out of my mouth. It's so annoying, because people always... Like trying to get me to speak Irish. I'm so annoying because I have to stop myself speaking Chinese. And I felt a bit of flow there. So I just, instead of censoring myself, I just let it go, thinking like, you know, Irish would come out. And fucking, I said, sheesh, and I had to stop myself. So fucking
would you, do you think at this point, would you be more fluent in Chinese?
Oh, there's no comparison.
Yeah, because
no,
it's more
I'm
recent.
Way more fluent in Chinese. But anyway, the Chinese don't really have a word for, just that's like just get, you know, play with yourself. You know, I don't, the Chinese are not as us culture folks. So, it's not good. But anyway, don't worry about it, Katie. You can
I'm
stop.
Looking up.
There is blistering, whatever that means.
Oh, I found the Irish for masturbation. Didn't know this one, Mearintocht.
Mearintocht.
Which is nice, isn't it?
What's the Mearintocht?
Mearintocht.
Mearintocht.
Let's hear how they'd say it in Galway.
Mearintocht.
That's dingle.
Mearintocht.
Medinchuk.
If you were up in Belfast.
Oh, they all fucking Medinchuk in the fucking H blocks, I'll tell you that now. Like,
so, Glockrocht, Love Kjarta, and Marinetucht, I've never heard of any of them.
What is Marine?
So they all mean masturbation.
No, I know, but what is the. Because you know the way, like, down or like the. What is the Marinetucht part?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, Mare's finger.
Oh, right. Okay. So fingering. Yeah.
I think that's actually kind of a good one.
Yeah. Marinetucht. Oh.
Marinetucht. So that's interesting. I didn't know that. I once actually had a guy. Remember, I was seeing him for a little while, and he used to always insist on having sex in Irish. And then one night I was out with his friends. They were all big Gaelcors. And I remember the guy in question said to me, but he didn't realise I had Irish, but it was a lot of fun because the guy in question, the best friend, made a joke to me that night I should tear Suis in order, like, go get up on top.
Oh, right.
And he thought that I didn't know what he was saying, and then I said it to him, I was like, oh no, like, I get up on top all the time, and he was like, because people do automatically just,
so what did he say, you
it.
Should what,
you should get up,
no,
on
but
top
what was his
tonight.
Grammar
tear Suis in order, probably
tear
to go up on top. Now this was probably 19 years ago, so I could be wrong, I could be misquoting the man, but the old sex Osquig, there was a lot of costumple mosh at the hood, and I was like, no thanks. It doesn't really lend itself as a language.
It's
to
a bit, it's good for deep throat blowjobs, that's about it.
Oh, that's actually quite true with the old vibrations.
Say, oh, Tom of Loss, I don't have a good bloss. You know, say, fiber bit, just fucking get this in the. So, yeah, that's it. I can't get my CHs. Let me help you.
Oh, God.
Tommy Tacht.
And he was a nice guy, now your man that I used to ride Osquelga, but that was the only time.
What do you mean? What would he be saying? He'd be like,
well, all the like lingo would be.
What would the lingo be like, though? He'd be like, you'd be on top, and he'd be like,
hosting plants on. That kind of
thing. The love and
the
vod.
Oh, yeah, the old bud.
Sure, the love
and the vod.
What was that? Just. Oh God, I just get too mixed up with Chinese to start trying to speak dirty. Oscar, I'll get so annoying. I'm will too floch.
It just makes me cringe.
Are you wet?
It's just as a language.
Heard the full.
What's that?
Well, on your hold.
Oh, it just doesn't sound right. Actually, there is a guy. The guy who runs the public radio wrote a great book there a couple of years ago, and it's all like. It's all sexual terms, Osquelga.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, no, I don't think as the languages go, it necessarily lends itself to that.
I went out with I had a brief fling with a Gaelgor, but funnily enough, and she was raised in Irish, but she didn't like talking dirty in Irish. If we started any semblance of sexting, it would have to be in English. She wasn't comfortable sexting in
Isn't
Irish.
Isn't that interesting?
And weirdly enough, I had the same experience with a Chinese girl. In both situations, they had less shame in English than they did in their mother tongue.
That is so interesting. I wonder, is it because, you know, when you're raised in a language, was you associated with like the domestic?
What is mother tongue again, Oscar?
Tangentuchus?
Oh, Tangentuchus. Yeah, Tangentuchus.
But I wonder, is it because of that that you'd associate it with maybe the domestic or whatever? Fred.
We don't have to get into the.
Fred is into the old couple of fuckle, I have to say, not necessarily in the bedroom, but he's gotten quite into it.
Well, we won't talk about your sex life with Fred. That's not fair. We'll just have to get Fred on the podcast independently. You know,
my baby.
Yeah, Navsblach.
He would totally do it. 100%, he would.
All right. So can we finish? Because I was going to talk a bit about Tinder and stuff, but there's really no need. Because we've discussed a lot, we'll just have you back on, Julie J. You know?
Okay, I'd love to come
back.
But
I do want to talk about this.
Oh yes,
message that came in from a listener.
I completely forgot about
and
that.
And now we're parked, so we can do it in real time, and I'll just edit out the disaster that was earlier on, and I'll skip all her praise of the shift. But this listener,
got into the shift as a result of watching myself and Katie in Cork last week.
Yay.
And
yay.
She has a dilemma, and we like listener dilemmas, and we haven't had enough of them. So this is her dilemma. I won't name her. I have like a casual partner, like. We're not in an exclusive relationship, but we have lots of sex, and we are more than friends, and we have a great sex life where we talk openly about what we like and what we'd like to try that we haven't before. And I met him last night, and I told him he should go listen to The Shift. Anyways, she gets a lot of shift digressions. I suppose the point I wanted to make is I'm 29, and I've had lots of partners, and I wouldn't mind being in a relationship. I want a relationship. He is saying he doesn't. And he is saying it's not just me, but he doesn't want a relationship in general. I love what's going on with us at the moment, but I also would love the relationship. So where I am at the moment is we are casual partners, and he knows I'm going on dates, and like I've said, if I meet someone else and it turns into something then that's us finished. None of the dates, well, there have only been two so far, have escalated into anything, but I'll get to the point. I think I kind of have the fear that I'll miss how good our sex life is if I find someone I want to be in a relationship with and it's just not as good. Also, maybe you have it in the episode already, but I think I kind of have the fear that I'll miss how... So she did then gives us some advice on what she'd like to talk about. But that's her dilemma. I have some thoughts, but I'll open it up to the car.
You go first.
By the way, if there's anyone from Turles that's listening... Just to give you a sense of where we are, we're in between the Thurles Leisure Centre and the Source Arts Centre.
It's a nice little sandwich, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm sure some people have probably snuck in here late at night to have a little snog.
Looking after your mind and your body. This is a lovely sandwich.
That's right.
My thoughts would be, okay, she needs to get out of this situation then if it's not going to... Has she communicated this to him that she wants something
more?
Well,
I can't answer. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, hopefully she's listening.
So, I think...
Well, I know she has clearly communicated that because he said...
He didn't want a relationship.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, yeah, so she has communicated
so
that.
I think she needs to walk away.
And he's honest, which is fair enough.
Yes.
He's not doing anything wrong.
No, he hasn't done anything wrong. But I have been in this situation on numerous occasions myself.
And can we make a judgment? Can I throw out a judgment?
Yes.
She's in denial. In that she's clearly not comfortable with just the fucking.
Oh, this is it. No way. Yeah, Katie. No,
and the fact that she's afraid to not have as good sex with someone else, but you're not getting fully what you want here.
Yeah,
so
but she's only saying that. I personally, my judgment of that is that that's her way of rationalizing her denial. Say, I'm afraid to get in another relationship because the sex won't be as good, which is actually not true. She's not going to let herself get in another relationship because she's holding on to the sense that this is going to go somewhere.
I agree. She's preventing herself from finding something that is more fulfilling and meets her needs. And the thing with sex is, I can remember somebody years ago saying to me, I was in a situation, I didn't want to stop seeing a guy, the sex was great, and I was like, yeah, but the sex is so great, we have an amazing physical connection, blah blah blah, but it wasn't, you know, a healthy relationship in the sense that like we were just, well, I shouldn't say not a healthy relationship, but I wanted something more, he didn't want something more. And I can remember someone at the time saying, yeah, but Julie, like, you know, your vagina has a memory, so the most recent memory for your vagina that you associate with orgasms and pleasure is this guy. But then you're going to go on, you're going to meet someone else, and your vagina will remember that person as the most recent time, like, you know, that you orgasmed, blah, blah, blah. Like, your vagina has a memory, but this is just the most recent memory. Like, you're going to go on and make more memories.
And that is definitely one of the great differences between a vagina and a penis. A vagina likes familiarity. There's a penis.
But it's true.
Penis can't get enough of the unfamiliar.
But what would you think, Katie?
Well, for the listener, I had the same thing because I was mad about my ex-boyfriend and I was just like, everything's great. But really, it was just the sex was amazing because he was very controlling and possessive and he had a lot of issues. But I remember Des being like, well, it's just you've just found how you like sex. You could have had that probably with lots of people.
Yes.
It just happens that he's there and you're attracted
and
to him.
And you associate it with him, but actually
I'm glad I walked away.
To know your own body and all that. And I think that's just my take on it, that, you know, at the time when this person said it to me, I was like, yeah, like maybe I'm just associating him with pleasure because it's familiar, it's the most recent, and I went on and had, you know, the best sex was yet to come.
Yes.
That is,
and I think
thing.
That's a very good point. And change, you know, people fear change, but I guarantee you this is not the best to this woman.
No,
this
it
is not the best sex you've ever had in your life.
And then she's as well you know, you probably are missing out on the opportunity of meeting someone where you can be completely fulfilled. And then as well, you are probably just kind of hoping that he will decide he wants a relationship. So you're just setting yourself up for disappointment, yeah. I feel.
And it's really hard, but, you know, I mean, she's ultimately just hurting herself by staying in this situation if she does want something more. And he hasn't done anything wrong.
And they have an open relationship, which is interesting. Yeah. But I don't think she's going to find... Like, I think that thing of, I'm afraid if I meet somebody, then the sex won't be as good. I don't think that's really what's going on there, you know? I think, yeah, I don't know if the open relationship part of it is going to work for her.
The open relationship thing, I think, is really hard to navigate. It's like, some people do it very well, but... I mean, for me, I don't think it's ever worked out for me, in the sense that I think invariably one person wants something more.
Yeah, well, certainly in this situation, that's going on. Certainly in this situation, that's what's going on. And I think it works for a while. I think their dynamic probably did work for a while. And I think she's gotten, from what I can hear, she's gotten as much of that as... It's very hard to pull back from that time where you go, I want something more from this guy.
Yeah.
And it's hard to go back into the neutral zone, I think.
And I think, you know, people in your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. And, you know, she's enjoyed some great sex with him.
What's that expression?
A reason. People are in your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. So he's come into her life. They've had great sex.
Yes, but the leaves have changed color.
The leaves have changed color.
And they're about to fall off the tree.
Yeah. And
winter,
she's gotta sweep them
is
away.
Coming, baby.
Wait for that cold dick to come. I don't know.
Cold dick. And it's hard because I think, you know what? I think if you've no one else on the back burner, in the sense, if, I don't know, did she mention she's seeing other people?
She said she had a couple of dates, but they haven't been great.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but she's not full foot in then, you know?
Yeah. And the other days she's probably like half in.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on. I think she says she's afraid that she'll fall for somebody else, their relationship will be over, and the sex won't be as good. But I actually think she's afraid that she'll meet somebody else and she'll have to finally give up on this guy, which she clearly doesn't want to do.
I think that's totally
But he's going to, you know, he's going to leave her. I mean, I've been in relationships where I've been like, hey, listen, I am not into a relationship, you know, and people have been comfortable with it for a while. And then there comes a time where it's no longer, you know, good. And there are many reasons why. And one of those reasons why might be like, he likes fucking her, but he not really that into you on other levels, which is, it's not a criminal for that, but you know, this guy, you might be better to cut him loose.
I would say at least three times in my life, people said that they didn't want to get into a relationship because they were going traveling, and I'd meet them 2 weeks later in the local Aldi, Lidl, whatever. And I'd be like, what about the traveling? And they were never going traveling.
Oh yeah, I went to Dublin for the day. Yeah,
they just didn't like me in that way. That's all it was.
Like,
and
think of all the guys that we've turned away.
It is okay.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
You have to be
and
okay with
it. It's never, you know, generally with relationships, if they're meant, you know, it's not one person, it's not the other. It's just that maybe the dynamic isn't working. And
yeah,
you
and
know,
it's timing
that's
too.
All.
You know,
yeah.
It's timing. There's so much going on, and I have, man, I've had a couple of cracker like. Friends with benefit scenarios, but like really unhealthy relationship wise, but just really fucking good with the sex. But you know, you drive each other fucking nuts.
It's I like just my own personal experience of this. Any kind of fuck buddy scenario I had ended up being a bit toxic, and I, you know, probably should have ended them sooner than I did. So she's absolutely, you know, not alone here.
We're not anti fuck buddy on this show, but at the same time, if you've gotten into the unrequited part.
Then it's hard, and then ultimately you are just kind of hurting yourself, and it's, you know, difficult to send the text, especially when if you don't really have someone else, you know, on the go at the same time, it can be hard to walk away into the abyss, and you're like, oh, but what about the sex? But you just have to do it, and as I said, the best sex is yet to come.
Yeah, and there's always the marine tucked in the
meantime.
There's always the shower head.
I had this
very recently, and it was kind of a year and a half long, sort of non-committed, like couple of times. It was getting close, but it never just got there in terms of a relationship. And eventually we just had that discussion, and it was great because we were both just like, all right, let's admit it. There's so much good about what we have, but there's just not that next level.
Yeah.
So let's stop trying to pretend that one day will come when we're all in the one place and the stars. Because I think sometimes as you can delude yourself and think that there's going to be a time where it's right for us.
Mm-hmm.
And just a lot of times it's just like, it's just not the one, you know?
I would say in my experience, just basing it on like my friend groups and my own personal experience, very, very rarely does the fuck buddy become a long-term successful relationship.
No,
very
I think
rarely.
If it does, it's usually like 10 years later.
You yes, know,
like I've heard of a
really
few.
True.
We used to fuck around, and then he went to Australia, and you know, 6 years later he came back, and next thing we're fucking, we got three kids.
And the key there is like they went off, lived their lives. Yeah. They had a period where they weren't actually involved with each other, and that's the only time it will happen if you come back to one another after an extended period. Otherwise, I think there's always exceptions, but I think very, very rarely does it materialize into anything other than. And I think people need to be honest with themselves. Like, I've been in situations where it's a fuck buddy scenario, and from the get go, that's not what I've wanted. But I haven't communicated that.
Yes.
And then you get pissed off at this poor guy who has said from the outset,
I had that
Tinder bio, I wasn't looking for anything serious or whatever. And it's, you know, I mean, that's probably unfair as well. I mean, I was guilty of that on at least two occasions.
Oh, I had a bad one with that. I was honest with her every time, and then I would not contact her. And then every now and then, she'd contact me a lot, and I wouldn't respond. And then there'd be like a weak moment. And I'm not saying that I'm better than her or whatever, but I'd have like a weak moment. She'd hit me at like an opportune time, and I'd be like, I'm on my way. Then we'd have this fucking great sex. And then a week later, she'd be like, you think you can just fuck me and then not fucking call me? And I was like, I literally haven't contacted you for 6 months. You fucking barrage me. And then I give in once.
Yeah.
But I get it. I'm not saying that she was worse than I. But it is that scenario where you delude yourself.
Yeah. And I think you have to, again, because I have been in this situation so many times, you have to be honest with yourself. And also, I know myself that I probably should have taken responsibility at times and said, look, Judy, this is what it is. You know, maybe you're not being clear about what you want. Like, ultimately, this guy has done nothing wrong in that. If you're suggesting, oh yeah, this is all good, this is all I want, you can't then get mad at the person when they're not offering you anything more, when they've been honest from the get-go.
It is hard to be honest with yourself in that situation. It's very easy in hindsight now.
Well, it just, you have to just not take offense. You have to be like, just because they don't want anything more, like, people put their self-worth on these opinions, like I had friends who weren't even really into the guy that they were sleeping with, but then when he ended it, were really, really upset. And I'm like, you're just upset because you feel the rejection now, where actually there's loads of other guys that would love a relationship with you. Do you know, I feel like we put our self-worth on.
I mean, I would always get attached. So I know myself that if I'm shagging someone on the regular, I probably, you know, I am going to want something more.
Me
so
too.
As you say, Des, I guess, you know, that is true, that
the
it's
vagina
easy
loves
to come
familiarity.
At this but it's easy to talk about these things with hindsight. When you're in it and you're having great sex with someone and it's exciting and it's something to do with a Tuesday, it's very hard to walk away from that and rationalize it and say, well, this, you know, is hurting me in the long term. But
familiarity breeds contempt and wetness. So they never finished that expression, did they? It's always.
I think that's actually the original statement. I'm pretty sure.
If you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it was meant to be. You know that one?
Yeah,
that's very much in line with what you were saying earlier.
Yes, I do think that's very true as well. Well, just what you were saying there about the whole thing of like people going off to Australia, living their lives, and coming back and reconnecting. That is potentially possible, but.
But what I really like about this, and I think Katie will agree, is that we got a listener problem and we dealt with it. And we'd like a lot more of that, to be honest with you. Because I think, I'm not going to say which publication it is, but there's a national newspaper in this country which still is in its original size. And it has like a sex advice column. And I think, and I could be wrong, that a lot of them are just made up.
I would think so.
Oh, okay.
And I don't like that.
Well, I did. I mean, while you're
wouldn't
here,
surprise
I
me.
Had a listener write into me, but I didn't really know how to advise because it wasn't actually particularly about her. But she's in the so maybe you'd be able to give better advice. But
oh, hit me, Katie.
So her best, a very good friend, has started seeing her other good friend. I won't say specifically. Anyway, but what happened was the girl, kind of said, I'm only dating him for his money, and then the guy is like really into her, so she's listening to both of these, and she kind of messaged me saying like, should I tell him or should I tell her? But also she's always saying she really wants a good man, so I think that if she just waits it out, like, she'd see that he's a really good man. So I kind of messaged back saying, look, what would you do, what would you tell me, like, if I told you? Because I don't know them personally. I don't really know how to, I just didn't really know how to advise, to be honest. It's really, that is a tough one when you're stuck in the middle between two friends. I said, look, they're adults.
Did the girl, like, say it in jest? Like, I need a guy with money. Not that that's, you know, I'm not saying that's a good joke to make.
She said that she said to her she's only dating him because he has money. But, like, she might have been just been joking.
So what's she saying? So what does she think she should say?
She wants to know if she should give the guy a heads up because they're very good friends and just say, like, it doesn't sound like she wants to.
I would say, the reason why I would say not to is because I don't know, like, what age this girl is. But certainly, especially as you get older, I'm always very cautious in getting involved in relationships early on, because that person could end up marrying that girl, and they're never gonna forget what you said in that moment. So invariably, it's
plus
gonna
his
be a case
his
of
response
shoot
might
messenger.
Be, I fucking know I'm an ugly cunt, and she's lovely, and I was mean, hoping she'd be into it for the money, because I'm a fucking.
And you know what?
I'm horrible.
And like maybe that suits him. That's it. You know what I mean? It's not. I would think she's not gonna be thanked for it either way. So I would advise
I agree
no.
with you. And I think they're adults. If they do get mad at her in the long run for not giving a heads up, I'd kind of be like, well, look, you're both adults, it's not really my place to get involved.
Plus there's any number of motivations for saying that.
She could be joking, but
she could also be paranoid that her friends think that he's not attractive enough. You know, there's any number of motivations behind
really
her saying
good.
That she might try to be funny, she might be pretending that she's not as into it, you know, she might be concerned that she's like falling for this guy, so she's just trying to act like she doesn't care.
It could be self-protective, in the sense, I know sometimes I would like deflect, you know, somebody was asking me about, like, you know, how I felt about someone in the early stages, because I suppose having been burned before, it's easy to deflect and almost make a joke of him and say, oh, well, I'm only doing it for X, Y, and Z, than to say, yeah, I'm actually really mad about him.
No, absolutely. There's something very vulnerable about saying, no, I really like them, because then if it doesn't work out, you're a bit embarrassed.
You're totally exposed.
That you've shared that. Oh,
let's talk about the more serious thing here, Katie.
What's that?
You said, oh, because you're here, let me tell you what a listener said. As if you wouldn't. There are listeners, Katie.
No, but just because you were giving great advice there, and the thing was, you kept a listener dilemma for me. I told you,
Katie. This relationship
this
is about open
the
and
honest. I told you I was like, I didn't know how to answer it, and then I guess what happened? We stopped off, so we didn't get to finish talking about it. That was it.
Oh.
So it was the to be continued.
I was nervous about sharing it because I was like, it's not actually about her. So I was really nervous to give advice.
But that is an interesting one. And you know what?
We love these dilemmas, Katie.
Yeah.
Listen, people are sharing their lives with us, and we're going to try to bring magic. We are not professionals. We're not going to offer perfect advice.
Well, I'll give you an example.
I'll give you an example
where I stayed out of it and I got awful trouble.
What do you mean? You mean in real life?
In real life. Well, this is when I was younger, and I do think it's a younger thing. I don't think it would happen now, but I remember my dad would always say, stay out of everything, stay out of everything. And my boyfriend's best friend started seeing this girl, and then he was cheating on her. Now, I don't even remember hearing about it, but like, it wouldn't have been my place to say anything, I kind of feel. And when she found out about it, she was really nasty to me. And like,
that you didn't tell her?
Yeah, but I wasn't friends with her, and I kind of
you didn't
I
do
was
anything
really
wrong.
Friends with him.
But you didn't
you
know
do.
Her anything.
Oh, and she took out most
do,
of the
like,
anger on me, but it was kind of
like,
not
your business.
Oh, I think I would have been
you're
worse.
You're the fucking relationship police.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And so I'm always
her,
like, stay out of it, but I still got in trouble.
That was
that's
her
just
taking
local drama.
The easy option, yeah, because it's easier to direct your anger at you.
But that is a good that is a good discussion. Do you say something? That is a big dilemma. I think we should hold.
It is a big dilemma,
guys. I because we have to now,
do a show.
We have to finish. We have to do a show.
I'm gigged.
But
out,
I like
Des.
That dilemma.
Oh, yeah.
I know that actually it's quite tiring podcasting. Myself and Katie are always fucking wiped afterwards.
I know. Maybe that's why. So what I wanted to do with my comedy, with my sets, is when I talk on stage, I don't talk the way I do on the podcast. I want to get to the way I talk on the podcast. But I was just thinking, I'm so tired. I won't be able to do it tonight.
You fucking
so
step turn up.
Us, you're
fucking
in
tired.
For
you're doing 10 minutes. I'm doing an hour and fucking 20 minutes.
Yeah, but I want to talk the way I talk, not
the
way
Source
I stand
Art
up
Center.
Talk.
I no, I think that is a great one, but I would advise. Just
well,
to
I want
stay
some listen.
It.
We want some listener feedback on what is the consensus on do you or do you not tell somebody if you know that they're being cheated on. It's
great
a big, that's
one.
A big dilemma.
That is a great one.
That's a great one to leave it on.
In my experience, here, you're never thanked for it, and ultimately they could end up marrying that person, etc. So you have to weigh all that in before you get involved.
So, Julie J., how do people find you?
I'm on Instagram, Julie J. Comedy.
Julie J. And it's J U L I E, right?
Yeah. And it's J A Y. I am on the Facebook and the Twitter and all that, but I'm really.
But you
just
only care about
the,
Instagram.
I'm just trying to get the Insta
That's
up.
That's where it is.
Of course. Always love, well, love this video. Girl so much. Yeah, whatever you think.
So, Julie J. Comedy.
Where are you?
Julie J. Comedy. She's
like,
in the back.
I like me in the.
Julie J. Comedy. It's not the best lighting.
Yeah, it's Julie J. Comedy.
And her. We're still on the podcast here, Katie.
I know.
Focus on that too. You got it. You can't just do Insta stories. You have to focus on the podcast also.
So it's Julie J. Comedy on Instagram, and I'm Arlene Foster on Twitter. So just check that out.
I just tagged her.
Slide into my DM.
You can see her at actually, if you're looking to see Julie J, how many of the you're doing a few of mine.
Des. I've got my list.
The problem is it's not that exciting because you open up for Tommy. There's a lot more shows.
I would just stop.
No, I know, but I'm just saying it's, that you know other comics would be like, oh, this is great. I'm opening up for Des.
I'm so,
this is
so
just,
chuffed to get
this
these
is just
dates.
A little add-on.
And
but
you
anyway,
know
what do you have any idea of a date coming up that you're with me on?
You're
in Maynooth, right? No,
we're in Maynooth. We're in Mullingar. We're in Retouth in Meath, and we're in Tullamore as well.
Brilliant.
So basically the Midlands got you covered. And to be fair, Des, do you remember you gave me such a big break last year? I did the gig with the, it was Hoth I did
right
with
at
first.
The, right at the beginning Hoth of this tour.
And
take the points.
And all that. So thank you so much. It's
we
great
had a
to
great
back.
Time. And can I just say
so
that little difference people always say like, oh, you know, why is it so difficult for women in comedy and all these different things? I never have the answer to that question, but I promise you there's a difference between a female comic and a male comic in that you brought me a
oh
present,
God,
a thank
yeah.
you present.
I gave him a thank you card as well when I first opened for him.
I know.
Yeah. Well, obviously there's work. Also a higher pitch.
What does a higher pitch mean?
Thank you.
That's kind of just my go-to pitch.
And the two of you now, in fairness, you're very high.
Yeah,
but no,
high.
But you bought me a thank you present, which I thought was a great touch. And what was even better was the thought that went behind it, because I told you that I wanted to do an Arabic version of In the Name of the Father, and you bought me an Arabic to English phrase book.
I mean,
and in it you wrote, thanks for the gigs, for your, like, I hope your work, this might help with your new series, In the Name of the Fatwa.
See what I did there?
Aww,
I mean, I'm
funny.
Here all weekend.
My card and chocolates was shit now compared to you.
No, but you know
Katie,
what?
It was great.
I got
him
the signal because I did the couple of days.
When did you get me the chocolates?
Did I not give you chocolates with the card?
Yeah, but when was the card? Which gig?
Caroline's.
Oh.
Yeah. Before the podcast.
See, women.
That's well. That's
a great bunch of lads.
That's what we do. It is true, but it's funny because I can remember I bought you that book, and I can remember saying to my comedy wife Emma, I was telling her I was going to give you the book. She was like, "Don't do it. It's going to be so cringe." But it was lovely.
It was
it's
not
lovely.
Cringe, not for me, and especially think, with a pun like that in the name of the fatwa.
I think a pun always takes, you know, it takes the cringe off things, and I really appreciate it. And I was like, "This is fantastic. This will never be topped."
Well, thank you. You're a great guest. We'll have you on again.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me. You're fantastic. Love the podcast.
And, oh, geez, you hear you're plugging your shows. You have the Up to 90 podcast.
We do have the Up to 90 podcast about everything and anything 90s.
So have a listen to that. I was a guest on that. Your most listened to episode, I heard.
Oh, the most listened by a country mile, Des.
So have a listen to Up to 90 podcast with
so
Emma Doran, who's also hilarious.
We follow each other on Instagram.
Can I just give Emma Doran a plug? We've got to get Emma on.
I'd love to meet her in real life. I hope, maybe I did meet her actually at one of the gigs.
Got to get Emma. Emma does her great videos. And there's some great, like in fairness, I don't talk about it that much, but like there is some great women coming up in the Irish comedy scene. I don't know if it should be pointed out separately, but can I just say that compared to when I was starting out, it's night and day.
Yeah.
In terms of the amount.
Yeah.
There was hardly any. And there's a lot now. And it's great. And you're part of that. You're part of that. Because we always get paired off in peer groups. So I don't think it's like, I don't think it's like a sexism thing. We're pointing at women. But like, I was paired off with like David O'Doherty and Cosbane, who we coincidentally bumped into today, and Neil Delamere. You know, we had like our little peer group, but you guys have like a tight little peer group going. There's like a lot of fucking funny women suddenly.
There's
a
lot of funny. Well, and I think because like the more funny women you see, the more you think, oh, I can do that.
So that's great.
That's how I started comedy.
Yeah.
I went to a show over in New York and there was a woman on it and she was so funny and I never even really watched comedy that much and I was like, I want to do that.
Well, Joe all the Brand research, was the one for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I watched Joe Brand and I was like, it can be done.
All the research suggests that that's the case. That's why it's really important to get, you know, diversity in various different jobs, particularly in jobs that are traditionally one gender, because once people see their own gender in it, they think, oh, I can do that. And that's a fact, not just in comedy.
I still remember most of her set. I ended up making her my friend. I like stalked her and was like, we're going to be friends. And we've been friends since.
I was kind of like that to Emma.
And by the way,
forced her to be my friend.
We focus a lot on gender representation and how important it is to get women in jobs. And then people see it and they go, I can do that. But it's a big problem teaching, isn't it? For men,
there's not. They need to get more men.
We need to get men, and this is a real problem because my cousin is actually in charge of equality in everything, and there is a problem with men. There's not enough men teachers.
We really need underrepresented.
So guys, come on, be a teacher. Now I know I'm a hypocrite. I'm a guy. I could be a teacher, but
you'd be a great teacher.
Yeah, but I'm 43. I'm not gonna be a teacher.
I got him to go through the whole Irish history, and then he was like, "What am I, Despedia?" But you were really good. You had all the dates, and it was really interesting.
Yeah, Despedia. That's why I'm never gonna be a fucking teacher, because that'd be my fucking nickname. But it'll have nothing to do with Wikipedia. It'd be fucking Despedo.
Despedo.
He's looking up me fucking skirt. Get your fucking noise out of me skirt, you cunt.
Actually, speaking of male teachers, I will say a guy told me recently enough, he tried teaching a couple of years ago for about a week, and he was in a boys' school, and he said, like, kids are just so
horrible.
Machiavellian. He said that they filmed themselves. They basically searched for porn on his laptop, and then they filmed themselves putting in an innocuous search, and it came up with the porn that they had just searched for.
Wow.
And that's pretty, how he got the boot. That is, I mean, that's layered. Like,
that's
layered.
That's heavy.
That's like that. There's like a horror movie about teenagers.
That was like a
90s
thriller, and they put up their post-its on the notice board, and they were like, okay, so you're going to search, for the porn. Yeah, but anyway, I thought that was a good one.
It's called Clear Your History.
That's probably not going to make men want to do teaching.
Yeah,
but
you guys teach.
It's a
ladies,
great job.
Guys teach.
Just
ladies
don't leave your
do comedy.
Laptop around.
Ladies do comedy. Get into the sciences. Get into tech and get into sanitation. There's no bin women.
And that's a well-paid job.
There's
I
not
used
enough
to
bin
a
women.
Guy who
not,
was a bin man
not,
in Galway.
Not much coming from the voice of feminism about not enough women in the bin man industry. But at the same time, we need more female bin people.
We actually do. I used to score a guy in Galway. He was a bin man. Very well-paid job. And this shows how long ago it was, Katie. Because do you know who my crush was at the time? This is what he saved me in his phone as. This is so cringe. Bill Clinton. Because at the time, I really fancied Bill Clinton.
At the time, you weren't into consensual sex.
These things do not date well. Okay, no, it was 97, 98.
It's not the up to 90 podcast now, Julie. So shut
I'm
the
sorry,
fuck
the 90s
up.
Are over. Thank you so much for having
thank
me on
you.
Your
thank
podcast.
Thank you. It was nice to you.
Thank
thanks
you guys.
A million.
I was about to stop the podcast by turning off my car.
I know, I see it. Personal. I watched that in real time and I was like, what?
I didn't actually press it,
no,
but
I've
I was
seen
a,
your finger
I was about I was about to. I was about to.
Okay.
Thank you. So thanks everyone for listening. And can I just say, first of all, thanks to Julie J. But can I just say how wonderful it is to be able to talk about the dilemmas that our listeners have. And I really want to do that more on the podcast. So please, any questions you have, anything you want us to discuss on the podcast, please do send us your feedback at Des Bishop, at Katie Boyle Comic, praise for Julie J at Julie J Comedy. And as always, if you haven't done it, please 5 stars on iTunes. If you're not an iTunes listener, please spread the word. Insta stories. You know, we love Insta stories of like people listening to the app and making comments about the apps. All that stuff is really, really appreciated. And we will forward on those Insta stories. So please, anything like that, all interaction is welcome. Are wondering if shifty, if you guys are comfortable with the term shifty, like a shift listener is a shifty. That's up to you guys. You can give feedback on that. We had somebody at the show in Thurles that said to Katie, "Oh, I'm a shifty." So we don't know if that's a thing that's now happening. I will also say that there was about a half an hour conversation that happened in the car before what you guys were listening to, and for numerous reasons I didn't put it on.
But I will say that we will be having a Patreon soon. And I think the Patreon's going to be a lot racier because I still, even though I know that it's a podcast and I can say whatever I want, I do sometimes hold back because I am just conscious of all the stuff getting out there or that people might consider it to be too graphic. But I do think that with Patreon, because there's that next level of commitment, that perhaps will feel a bit freer to go proper dirty. And there will be a lot of bonus content. And I think I will put up some of that conversation in the future on the Patreon, because there was just a couple of things that I was a little concerned about that I didn't put them up. Anyway, thank you so much, guys. More feedback there is, oh yes, Katie is still on tour with me for some shows. I'm in Mullingar this Friday. There's very few tickets left, literally 43 tickets left. She'll be with me in Mullingar if you're in that general area. I'm in Maynooth on Saturday. She's not with me. I don't actually think there's tickets left for that, but you can check. Just Google Des Bishop Maynooth. The following weekend, we're in Kilkenny, and I do think Katie's coming, and there are some tickets left for Kilkenny. Sligo is sold out. Then Katie's gone, but in the future, Drogheda, Tullamore, loads of other spots. It's all on desbishop.net/tour dates. Check that out. Loads of great apps coming up. We recorded an episode yesterday with Sex Shopper Shauna. She'll be back again. I still have an app about being cheated on as a wife that I've been holding off on because we're back in Ireland and I feel like we're getting all these new listeners. And I didn't want to put an episode up where Katie wasn't on it because all these new listeners are coming up and I wouldn't like them to get the wrong impression. So that will be coming up, but because that is actually with a listener and that is an anonymous person. I apologize to them for delaying it, but they're just practical reasons. Also, thanks to everybody that came to Vicar Street. Fantastic shows in Vicar Street. Woo, baby. Really good fun. Ooh, God, it was good fun. And I do not want to leave, take the points behind, because it's really, really kicking into high gear now in terms of just the way the material is pushing along. So that's it, guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Next week is definitely going to be the episode about being cheated on in marriage, but I'll have Katie with me to do an intro. Actually any stories about being cheated on, if you want to send them in, we'll discuss it before and after. Myself and Katie will discuss it before and after. So that's something to think about. Thank you so much, guys.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.